Good to be together on a summer morning. A little hazy out there, but it's good to come inside and be able to sit down and connect here this morning. So we as a church at Living Hope Church here, we have a kind of a tagline. We say real connection is what we're about. And we want to connect with God, and we want to connect with other people, and we want to help each other connect with God and help each other connect with other people, because that's tough to do in our world. Connection is hard to find, and we feel like God calls us to that. He encourages us. He challenges us to connect. So we're going to connect this morning. We're going to start off with a song called This I Believe, and it's based off of the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. And it's important for us to know these truths and to connect with the Christians who've gone before us. We have a legacy of faith. We have a legacy of belief and good doctrine to stand on and to study, and it's got a lot of good stuff for us. And so there's a lot of truths here to challenge us. So why don't you guys stand on up and let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your church gathered together. I thank you for new folks showing up here this morning and being willing to risk a little bit to come to something new and to connect with a group of people who they don't know. I pray that you would help us to lift our eyes to you, to get them off of, you know, how we sound when we're singing or what the other people around us are thinking, and just connect with you, Lord. You are here with us. You're close to us. And you are eager to connect. You want us to fix our eyes on you. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. So help us, Lord. Help us to step into that place this morning. Help us to enjoy you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, everlasting.
step to another song based out of what Jesus called his disciples to pray. And the Lord's Prayer, we don't have to pray it exactly like that. It was a template, but I think that there's a lot of really good things for us to remember as we come into prayer. And so we can pray this song together to God. Something we do monthly here. We're going to remember Christ's death and his resurrection until he comes again. He called us to do that. And we do that by taking bread that he took at the Last Supper, the last meal that he had with his disciples before he went to the cross. He took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he took a cup and he passed it to them and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so when we take this, we celebrate the fact that his body was broken for us. And it's a very tangible, very physical reminder of that breaking that happened and his blood being poured out for us. And what he did, what he accomplished there on the cross, is he opened up this way for us to come to him just by faith. We don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to be anybody different than we are. We just come with our sins, with our failures, with our faults, with everything that we have, the mess that we are. And we come to him and we say, God, I want to put my faith in you. I want that the death that you died be given before you so that I could be made right with God. And that's an amazing thing, that gospel message for us. And so we celebrate that. We take the bread and we take the cup in celebration of what Christ has done for us. And so if you have put your faith in Jesus this morning, we invite you to take that with us. What we're going to do is you can pick it up at the two different stations and you can bring it back and just try to put your heart in that right place of honoring God, of enjoying him, of worshiping him this morning, and then we can take it together once everybody's had a chance to pick it up. All right? We're going to play a little bit of music, let you guys get on to those stations. Lord God, we just thank you so much. Lord, Romans says that while we were still sinners, that you died for us. You loved us enough. Lord, nobody else has loved me enough to die for me. Lord, and so I put my faith in you. I trust you. I believe you. I believe in your love and your justice and your mercy. Lord, I take this bread in remembrance of you. Lord, I thank you that your blood washes me clean. Lord, we take this cup in remembrance of you.
Christ alone, my hope. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
You guys can stand.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on
truth. Here in the power of Christ will stand. We got one more song for you guys. This one's based out of Romans 8. Oftentimes, I don't necessarily feel like a conqueror. I don't feel like somebody who's winning throughout life. But in Christ, he says that we are more than conquerors in him. And so whatever we have to face, he can win it for us. But it might look differently than we expect. It might look differently than we hope, but he's got us, and he holds us fast, and there's nothing that we can do. Amen, amen.
That's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne.
Lord God, I thank you. I praise you that you have won so that I don't have to. You are sufficient so that I don't have to be. Lord, you call us up. You call us to have faith and to walk in faith and to love the people around us, to serve our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our enemies. Lord, but you call us to do that with your power. We don't have to try to manufacture that on our own. We get to do it together as your church. We get to walk in faith together. We get to encourage and help one another. We get to live this out together. It's not on us. It's on us collectively to work together and to follow you and your Spirit inside of us, enabling us, helping us, encouraging us, bringing the fruit of your Spirit into our lives. So, Lord, help us depend upon that Spirit. Depend upon you inside of us, Lord. And walk in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks, have a seat. Clifton's coming up. He's got some updates for us.
Morning, morning. Good to see you there. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Glad you're here. Good to see you. Any of you visitors out there, I see a few of you. Thanks for coming here to Living Hope. We're glad to see you. And we'd like to connect with you in a couple ways. One is back there on that little table. There's just a little card you can fill out so that we can kind of get to know you, well, email you and kind of build a relationship that way. And we also have a Flapdoodles gift card for you for some ice cream, okay? So grab that. Now, I've got just a few announcements. I'm going to start with the most important one. Today is the World Cup final. Yep. And so, you know, if it was the Super Bowl, then I wouldn't have to say that because everybody would know. But we're in America, right? So you might be like, I don't even know what the World Cup is. I don't even know what soccer is. So there's a thing called a soccer ball. All right. Well, it is today. Enjoy it. I know I will. All right. So first off is Connection Days coming up here August 5th through the 8th. It is our missions trip to our city. We want to reach our city, and this is an opportunity where we can serve. We're going to be sharing our faith, and so that is coming up pretty short here. There's different things you can do. One option would be, just like in a missions trip, you would take some days off of work. You could take several days. You'd go somewhere. You could take a couple days off, Thursday and Friday, and come and minister alongside us and see what the Lord would do there. That might not work. That's okay. You don't have to take a day off. You can come as you're able. But we're going to start on Wednesday evening, and then we're going to start our service and building into the community and building into each other's lives Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we'll have a carnival Saturday evening, okay? So you can start inviting people. I've invited multiple people. It's not a very hard sell to tell somebody, hey, would you like to come to a free carnival for your kids or your grandkids? So you can start doing that, okay? All right, and if you can register, that way we know how much food we need and stuff like that. All right, so Connection Day is coming up August 5th through the 8th. And there's some more details there even in the announcements. Number two, quickly, there is the moms gathering. Moms get together, hang out, build each other up, help each other. That's coming up this week, July 21st. Going to go to the new playground there at Silver Lake Park. And then the third announcement is the Venezuela offering that we're going to take. So I don't know what you know, but there were a couple of earthquakes that hit Venezuela and totally devastated that area. They were already in hard times before that. And so there are many, many thousands and thousands of people dead, missing, or they're just on the streets and they need help. We are connected with a church there, and they're going to be able to give food and water, and they're going to be able to give the hope of Jesus Christ to people because they absolutely need that right now. So you can give, and I love giving when I know that it's going to be for a really good cause, and I know that it's going to be used well. And so you can give to that. There are more details in there. I mean, there's just different ways to give. I'm not going to go through all that. Just want you to know it's the last day to do that, so it'd be great to use your money in that way. All right, with that, let's have a five-minute break, grab some snacks, hang out a little bit, and then Paul's going to come up to begin our little mini-series. We're breaking from Mark for just a bit. Begin our mini-series on uncommon faith. All right? All right. Take a break. Thank you.
All right, folks, come on back. A couple of months ago, I was traveling through Rochester just getting stuff done and in my car, and I dropped off my son someplace, and then I went for a walk and was just enjoying a part of the city that I don't normally spend time in. And I just realized, I don't know, I've definitely realized this before, but it kind of hit me afresh, just how many churches there are in Rochester. There's quite a few. And a lot of good ones. A lot of good churches that are doing good things. But then there's some other churches where I think, you know what? I don't know about that church. They're a little different. They believe this, and I'm not sure if the Bible supports that, or they believe this or that. And then I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of different places of faith in general, you know? And I Googled it as I was thinking about this, and there's almost 300 places of worship around Rochester. And, you know, some are Muslim mosques, and some are Hindu temples, and some are Jewish synagogues, and they would believe very different things. And then there's some that are mainline churches where they wear robes, and there's incense, and there's a lot of ceremony to the way that they do their stuff, and I would probably have some disagreements with them. But then there's also another, like I said, a lot of other churches that would believe fairly similar stuff to us. But what are we about here? As we look across the landscape and we say, okay, so faith seems rather cultural, doesn't it? Faith seems rather common. And I know that there's some people who would be out there who would say, you know what, I'm an agnostic or I'm an atheist, I don't really believe anything. But a lot of people, maybe even a majority of people, would align themselves with one religion or another, that they would say that they are a person of faith. And so faith seems pretty common. And then I thought to myself, okay, so are we the same or different? And is that a big deal? I mean, are we okay as a church, as we think about what we're about to do with our mission trip to our city to love people, to serve people, are we the same or are we different? Are we common or are we uncommon? What are we about here? And maybe more importantly, is what does God want us to be about? I think he calls us to be something that isn't just common. I don't think he calls us to be one of the crowd. He calls us out from the crowd to be different. I think he calls us to uncommon faith. One of my favorite verses is, again, out of Romans 12. We sang a song out of it earlier. But this one says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So as we try to think of what is God's will for us, God's will for our church, God's will for our community here, I think we're called to have an uncommon or unconformed faith. But that's important, how we ought to live. And I think that this faith ought to lead us into a community where we work together, where we encourage one another, where we challenge one another, where we live this out and figure out what this looks like together. And then I think it leads us into action as well. It leads us into doing things that are different than the world around us sees. Uncommon. If Jesus were here, would that be what he wants? Would that be what he calls us to? Do I need to move this mic? Nope, okay. What does it mean? What does common faith look like? And I don't want to be too critical. I realize that we as a church, we have things that we're weak in and that we need to work in. And there's other churches out there that are really trying hard to obey God's word. And so I don't want to put this and make you think, oh, he's giving the other churches the stink eye. Well, no, I'm pointing this at us too. We should be different than what is common. We should be unconformed to this age. We should be uncommon. And so I've got 3 points for us. I think common faith is often founded on what sounds good, what feels good, what makes sense. And you kind of think, okay, yeah, I kind of like that. That's good. And we can take things, and maybe it's kind of from the Bible, but maybe it's not really from the Bible, and we can kind of cobble something together and say, okay, this is my faith. And we can think, yeah, I like that. That's nice. That's comfortable. It feels good. But I don't think that that's what God calls us to. You know, we can kind of get mixed up in our mind as we think, okay, so what does the Bible actually say? Because if I found myself and my faith, I kind of set it down on a foundation of what feels good versus what the Bible says, what is that doing to me? I've got 3 different quotes that a lot of people would probably say, yeah, I think that's from the Bible. If you told them, hey, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. It doesn't actually say that. Or when God closes a door somewhere, he opens a window. It's also not in the Bible. That's the Sound of Music. And then God won't give you more than you can handle. I mean, that's kind of a popular thing out there. You know, that's the sort of thing you put on a mug or on a calendar or something like that. You know, a picture of a sunrise. But that's really kind of misquoting 1 Corinthians 10. So what if you hear something you don't like? You know, in our world, we're pretty quick to say, you know what? If you're going to be posting stuff on your Facebook page that I don't like, that makes me uncomfortable, I'm just going to unfollow you. Or I'm going to maybe even defriend you so that I don't see your stuff anymore because it's not good. And maybe that's appropriate, but what if it's what the Bible says? What if it's the uncomfortable places of the Bible? A lot of people would say, hey, if that's toxic, then just take it out of your life. Get rid of that negativity. Then you can have faith and not have the damage. But what if God calls us to something more? What if faith is supposed to be founded on something that is concrete, that is firm, that has definition to it? It's not just this flexible thing like, well, whatever you feel is good. You know, a misconception is dangerous. Your faith could be misplaced. You could be believing in a God that is not supported by the Bible, that is not even real. It's just some figment of your imagination out there. And that faith doesn't do anything for you. It can even end up being deadly. You know, the Titanic, they believed that it was unsinkable. They had this idea in their minds, yes, we built the best boat ever, it is unsinkable. And so in their arrogance, they only brought half enough lifeboats, and 1,500 people died because of it. Now, there were other problems. They made other mistakes, if you know the story. But faith that is founded on what feels good and what you hope to be true, or what is comfortable, is misplaced. So where do we found our faith? How do we know what to believe? This is pretty basic from Romans 10. It says, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. And I think we kind of distill it down and we say, okay, so what does this book say? How do we take this and how do we interpret it and then how do we apply it to our lives? Uncommon faith is founded on God's word. You know, when Jesus came, he did a lot of things that were uncomfortable. He called people out and he said things that people didn't want to hear. At one point in his ministry, when things were kind of blowing up and everybody was getting really excited and there was all of this attention, he said, okay, so I want you guys to eat my body and drink my blood. And the Jewish people who were not, they weren't vampires, they said, that's gross, I ain't going to do that. And they didn't understand and they left. And so then Jesus turns to his disciples and say, are you guys going to go too? Because I just said something really, really uncomfortable that you probably don't really understand. Are you guys going to leave too? And so Peter says, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. In the face of what they didn't understand and what was uncomfortable, they said, Jesus, we believe, we have faith. And that faith was uncommon. We must have faith in what the Bible actually says. God doesn't just, he's not a genie who just kind of transforms himself into something that we want him to be like. He is who he is unchangeable. And when the Bible says something radical, even something that our culture would say, you know what? That's pretty negative. That's some toxicness right there. I don't want that. What do we do? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's uncomfortable. That says that if you are believing something that is not Jesus, then you do not have eternal life and that you are not going to heaven. That you must pay for your own sins. And that's a hard truth. That's a pretty negative truth. The apostles were challenged and told to be quiet. And they said, no, there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. If you found your faith on what the Bible says as truth, your faith moves into an uncommon territory. Because our age, our world is founded, the faith that people have out there, by and large, many people anyways, is founded on these little platitudes, these little truisms, these little things that feel good and maybe are nice and are comfortable, but they don't have substance and they're not really who God is. And so it's pretty dangerous. So I challenge you. I challenge you to found your faith, to set the foundation of your faith on what God says. Well, what does he say? Well, you got to figure that out. You got to go after this book. You got to pursue it. You got to read it. If you've never read the Bible before, I would suggest not starting at the beginning. I realize that most books you start there, and it's not a bad place to start, but then you get the origin stories, and that's true, but I think starting with Jesus is a lot easier to kind of get yourself into what is this about. And so you move to the New Testament, starting with the book of Matthew or Mark. We've been studying through the book of Mark. We've been teaching through it. You can go back online and you can listen to the messages and try to kind of get yourself into what is this about? Who is Jesus? What is he like? How did he interact with people? Did he care about people? Did he love people? Did he only get along with the religious people? No. Definitely not. But as we come up against things where we say, I don't know about that. That's weird. Or I don't like that. Or it's uncomfortable. What do? We don't change the Bible. We let the Bible change you. Amen. We let the Bible speak to us and teach us. And we do it in community. You don't just take a verse and you say, okay, this verse tells me I'm supposed to do this radical thing and not check with anybody else. You check with somebody else. You say, the Bible's telling me to like do this weird thing. And you're like, okay, well, let's try to put that in context and figure that out. So there's wisdom here. I'm not just telling you to blindly flip open the Bible and say, okay, I'm going to do that. Well, maybe. Talk to somebody else, though, too. Let's work on this together. We let the Bible change us together. We work, we counsel together. What else does common faith hold on to? Common faith is just an add-on. You say, hey, you know what? Everything in moderation. I'm going to go to church when I feel like it. And I'm going to do church things. I'm going to maybe go to this event or that event, and we kind of set it in line with everything else we've got going on. And like you, I have responsibilities. I've got 4 kids. We've got 16 chickens at home. We got a lot to do. We got a big lawn to mow. And right now it's long. It needs to be mowed. There's stuff to do. And I oftentimes don't have time to do everything. And sometimes things end up not getting done. And you work a job and you got family. And sometimes I have to tell my family, hey, I can't come this weekend because I'm doing a church thing when they get together. And so, you know, we can say in our culture, in our age, we can say God is on the list and he isn't as loud as blank. And he isn't as loud as, you know, I've got my hobbies and I want to go play golf. Or, you know, my mom called and I gotta talk to my mom. Or I gotta work and my boss is really ragging on me and I gotta get this done. Well, maybe. And that could be true. God wants us to fulfill our responsibilities. He doesn't want us to be irresponsible. But yet he wants us to prioritize him. He wants us to say, okay, so what comes first in your life? Jesus is not supposed to be just an add-on. He's not a bumper sticker you slap on your car and you say, I'm good. He wants to be central to your life. Here's a challenging verse. This point has a lot of challenging verses, so buckle up. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such a faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says, go in peace and stay warm and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, if it does not have works, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. Do you really have true saving faith? How do you know? Well, we're supposed to act on it. Now, the problem here is that a lot of people will try to earn their salvation, and that's not right. That's not what God is about. God doesn't say earn your salvation, but he says, as you have faith, go and show that by loving people and living that out. That's what it's about. Not to boast before other people either, not to be like, hey, look at all this things that I'm doing for God. I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm loving other people. Aren't I an amazing Christian? No. But we just have the things that are on God's heart on our heart. And we say, you know what, God? You care about people, and so I'm going to care about people. You reach out to people. You serve people. You make sure that people are warm and well-fed. You don't just wish them well. Uncommon faith is central to your life. And so many people in our day and age, it's just kind of this thing that they do every now and then. It's a hobby along with the rest of their hobbies instead of being the thing, and then everything else builds around that. Jesus had some tough words. He says, the one who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Those who love a son or daughter more than me are not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. A couple chapters earlier, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Boy, those are some hard-hitting verses. You live with that on your wall, you better trust God, have faith, and figure it out. What does that mean for me? It means that you put him first. It doesn't mean that you have to be at every church thing. But it means that he is the central piece of your life, and everything else revolves around that. And that's weird. That's uncommon in our world. In Colossians 3, he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so for us to put Jesus in the center of our life means that we go and we mow our lawn in faith. believing that our neighbors would like us to mow it. And, you know, it's just kind of a culturally appropriate thing, but we do it in faith. Even something as simple as mowing the lawn. That we go to work in faith and we say, God, I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to honor my boss. I'm going to work for you rather than men, as if I was working for you rather than men. I'm going to spend my money in faith. And when I get my paycheck in faith, I'm going to say, God, how much of this do you want? Because I'm supposed to give it back to you, some of it back to you. That's uncommon to start there. It's uncommon to say, okay, God, I've got a free afternoon. How do you want me to spend my afternoon? Should I take a nap and catch up on those Netflix shows that I've been missing? Or should I serve somebody? Because in faith, you can do either one. You can trust God. You can believe him. You can connect with his people. You can reprioritize your life. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? It's good to check in and say, okay, so is God central to my life? Is this really the thing? Am I living the way that I say that I want to live or not? Because we can slide. We can let other things get in the way. And there's danger. Danger on all sides. You can do this to look good for other people, and that's not right. You can do it to try to prove that you have faith to God. No, that's not right. It's not about performance. It's about putting God first. You can make ministry an idol, getting your worth from how you're serving other people. That's not right. Or you can think God will accept you for what you do. No. You just make him the main part of who you are and what you do. And that's a challenge. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of it. That's a challenge. But it's something God calls us to. Make him central. Don't add on God. Start with God and his heart. Love the Lord your God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what's on God's heart. So that's uncommon. That's weird. That's hard to do. And that's why it's uncommon. But God's Spirit can help us do that. Okay. I think another thing that we see in our culture that common faith is about versus how we should be uncommon is common faith is this thing called deconstructing. And I don't know if you have heard about people doing this. It's kind of a buzzword in society, has been for a number of years now. And I think it's different for every person. And so if you've been in this place or you have other people who are in this place, don't let me characterize it all this way. But I do think that there is a thread that you can pull through a lot of the people who are deconstructing. They've been a Christian for a while, maybe since they were a child, and they have questions that never got answered to their satisfaction. They say, I don't understand why this, or it doesn't make sense that. And they step back from church, they step back from relationships, they maybe even step back from God, and they say, God, I just kind of want to think about this. I kind of want to work on this and try to figure it out. Sometimes it's an emotional pain, and God feels absent. Sometimes it's church pain. Somebody at church was cruel to you or betrayed you, or something that happened at church. You were following somebody at church, and then they fell, and they were immoral or dishonest. That can happen. It does happen. What do we do? How are we supposed to react to that? Because I think that is common in our society, this idea of, well, do you really believe what you believe? And honestly, some of it comes from a good place of saying, okay, so the Bible says that church should be like this. It doesn't say anything about that. The Bible doesn't say anything about playing four songs, having announcements, a five-minute break, and then a teaching. So why do we do it that way? Well, it's convenient. And it's a way for us all to gather and talk about it this way. I mean, a church could meet in a home and have 15 people and pray and break bread and have communion around a meal, and it would be quite a bit closer to what it describes in this book. But that doesn't mean that we can't do things that are convenient. The Bible doesn't say that you shouldn't gather like we do here. So some sort of questioning and some deconstruction is healthy, I really think. But I think we need to ask those questions in community. We have to pursue those things, those issues, and talk about it. You know, I see some of them, they can grow up like weeds. And we talked about this in Mark 4 a couple of weeks ago. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. And it didn't produce fruit. This is my garden. And you got to look and you got to say, okay, so where's your faith at? Are you allowing weeds in there? God doesn't want this of it. We should actively care for our faith. And we shouldn't let it get to a place where we're deconstructing out on our own, saying, you know what, I got to question all this stuff. I haven't gotten good answers to these questions about the origins of the earth or the dinosaurs or the light from distant stars or from the time that my friend betrayed me or my mom died or that emotional pain that we go through. How do we deal with that? Those things can grow up in our hearts. And we need to pursue those things. Uncommon faith is growing and multiplying. It's pursuing, it's investing, it's asking questions, it's struggling, it's fighting, it's doubting at times. It's pursuing, it's finding answers. If we can do this while in relationship, then church can be a safe place to lean into one another when we're in emotional pain or intellectual pain, trying to figure things out. It ought to be a safe place. I think about a couple stories from Scripture. You know, you talk about somebody who's going through immense emotional pain. This guy definitely was. He had a son who was demon-possessed, and this demon had been throwing him into fire. Jesus says, what do you want me to do? And the man says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can, everything is possible to the one who believes. Immediately the father of the boy cried out, I do believe, help my unbelief. And I think that is the spirit we ought to have when we're struggling. This guy was not feeling on top of the world here. He had brought his son to the disciples and they had not been able to cast this demon out. And he's wondering, okay, so am I just stuck? This was my last chance. If this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so when he brings his son to Jesus, he says, I do believe, I think I believe, but help me, help me. And that humble heart to say, help me, I think is what Jesus is looking for. That's uncommon faith. So if you don't know the story, Jesus saw the crowd was quickly gathering and he rebuked the unclean spirit saying, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Then it came out shrieking and throwing him into terrible convulsions. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said he's dead. But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him up and he stood up. When we bring our pain to Jesus and the hard things to Jesus, he doesn't always respond with, okay, I'm going to fix it all. But he says that I'm with you. And he says, I know, I understand. And we can ask him to fix it. But what he wants is us to have faith, to believe him, to say help. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about this man and his faith and his desire to believe, and I thought, well, you know, there's another story of a mom. She comes, and she kneels before Jesus, and she says, Lord, help me. And it's the same sort of attitude. Help me. Help me. And she's not from Israel. She's a foreigner. And he says, so isn't it right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs? And I think that he's baiting her here. He wants her to show her faith. And she says, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And he says, oh, man, woman, your faith is great. Good job. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was healed. Oh. That's what Jesus wants from us. He wants faith. And even just that little bit of faith. He doesn't want us to deconstruct. He wants us to invest and pursue help when we have the problems. He wants us to come to him and say, ah, help! I do believe, but help my unbelief. That is the uncommon faith. It's to turn to somebody else and say, you know what? I realize that this is a little weird since I've been coming to church for a little while, but I'm not sure if I believe this stuff. Or I don't know if I understand these things. Or what about this? Or what about that? To be humble enough to say, you know what, I got some questions. That's good. That's healthy. That's appropriate. Pursue help. And it's a difficult balance. It feels like we need more faith, right? The disciples came to Jesus and they said, increase our faith. And he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it's this little teeny tiny seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. I don't think Jesus really answered the question. He doesn't say, okay, so if you want to have faith, jump off higher and higher rocks or until you can fly. No, no. He says the object of your faith is more important than the amount of your faith. God is infinite. He's eternal. He's all-powerful. He's loving. He's in all purity, righteous. He's just, he's merciful, he's so much more. And when we have faith in that, when we bring ourselves to that place, we step into the uncommon place of putting our faith in that God accurately. Investing in others, building together, seeking help from others whose faith is strong and have come through the pain. There are people here who've been through some really terrible things and have come out the other side. Not with necessarily all of their questions always answered completely, but with faith. Let's work together. Let's build into each other. People have come through the questions, the hardships, the suffering of life. Now maybe you're here this morning and you thought, I'm not really struggling with anything. I'm not deconstructing my faith. Well, then you're here to help others. We're here to build into one another. We're here to invest into one another and to multiply this. I mean, I love this church. I love this family of faith. But we can grow, too, based on how much we can care for more people. We can add more chairs in, and we could add more services if we get to that point. But not if we can't really care for people. We really want to be a church who cares for one another, who works together to build into each other's lives, to make disciples, to do that sort of a thing. And to do that, we got to be caring for one another. And so you need, and I need, to have a faith that multiplies, to build into other people, to help each other, to encourage each other, to be the body growing up in love. That is uncommon. That's what I believe God wants for his people. Okay, we got to wrap this up. I like this topic. We could talk a long time about it. What do we see? Common faith, it kind of sounds good. It's an add-on. It's deconstructing. But uncommon faith, it's God's word. It's founded there. It's central to our life, and it's growing, and it's multiplying. And we started off with this verse. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to get this stuff into your mind. Otherwise, you end up just kind of sliding slowly into the shape that the age is in. That word conforming talks about what shape you are, like clay being put in a mold. And we just get pulled into this age, this world's mold. And it says, hey, you can have faith, that's great, but don't make it too uncomfortable. Don't say Jesus is the only way. And so we got to bust out of it. Faith Faith is common in this age. Do not conform to it. Be transformed. Seek what God has said in this book. Seek it together with his people and be transformed by it. Be different. How do we do that? Let the Bible change you. Prioritize God in his heart. Put him first, central in your life, and invest in others and pursue help. That is uncommon faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We praise you. We honor you. I pray that you would help us to figure this out. Help us to pursue this. Help us not be content to just be conformed to this world. Lord, we're not better than anybody else. We're just average people trying to love you, trying to figure this out, figure out what this life looks like together. I pray that it would develop in us a faith that is uncommon, that we would not be conformed to this world, but we'd live out that faith, loving you, enjoying you, Lord. I think that there is great satisfaction and joy in following you, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. We thank you. We praise you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, next week, Charlie's up. He's going to be talking about uncommon community. If our faith is uncommon, what does that do to us as a group? How do we interact together? So Charlie's going to take us there next week. If you'd like to pray with somebody, we've got a prayer nook over here, and every week we got people over there praying. So if you got something on your heart, you're working through something, you got a question, there's an easy spot to go. Have a good week, guys. Thanks for coming.